KPI.org.
Thank you for joining Disability and Progress. Excuse me. And we want to let you know this is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. This is Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
My name is Sam. I'm the producer of the show. Thanks to Aaron, our podcaster. And this week, we have a great guest in here. This week, we would like to introduce you to Zhe Zhang, right?
Yeah, that guy. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for being on, Zhe. I really appreciate that. Zhe was on the Food Network, so if anybody of you are out there that are Food Network peoples, you may have seen her. She was on the Spring Baking Championship. And she was crushing the competition. So congratulations to you with that. And I'm really anxious to get to know you better. And I'm sure anybody out there who saw it is anxious to get to know you. And maybe people who didn't see your article are anxious to find out more about you. So thank you so much for coming on. I want to start out and step back by asking you to give us just a little bit of history, because you are hearing impaired. I'm not sure how you like to call it. Everyone likes to call their disability something. So if you like to just let us know how you want it to be addressed. But tell us a little bit about how that happened and give us an idea of when it started.
Yeah, so honestly, I don't know exactly like the very beginning. Mm-hmm. All I can remember is that I remember hearing talked about my kindergarten teacher saying that whenever she calls my name, I don't answer, right? Oh. So then that was kind of like, yeah, the start of, I guess, that journey. And it wasn't until I walked into first grade that they just kind of like, hey, here are some hearing aids. You have to put these in because they're supposed to help you hear. At that age, you know, like you're very little and you don't know what's going on. So all I know was like, oh, I guess everybody's wearing this, so let me put it on. Yeah. So at that stage, I still don't know that I was hearing impaired. So I was just kind of like, hey, you know, this is fun. I guess like this is just something that everybody's doing in first grade, I guess. And so I had that on, and then that's when I started noticing, you know, that I'm the only one who's wearing it. And then that was when I realized, hey, you know, I think this is actually something else. Like, I think this is like, that's when I was like, okay, I think this has to do with my hearing. I don't think I'm hearing like everybody else. And so that I would say that's probably like the very beginning of when I finally started realizing I don't hear as well. Mm. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your family support? Because it sounds like your family just treated you like it was just no big deal.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, just because in my culture, with the language barrier and with my mom and my dad immigrating from Laos to America, they don't really know much about all of that stuff, right? So those technology and everything like that is all new to them too. So I quite understand how they wouldn't have known how to explain that to me. Yeah, so it was just like, it was just something that was like very new. My parents, my whole family were actually like very supportive, but I think because it was just something that was new, there was a lot of frustration involved, not knowing how to navigate things,
right.
And just kind of like forgetting that I don't hear very well, just because I lip read, so sometimes people forget that I actually have a disability, and they just kind of treat me normal. So when they talk to me and they're not facing me, it's really hard for me to understand what they're saying. So oftentimes I have to like ask them to repeat themselves or talk a little louder or just kind of turn to me so I can see what the lips so I can read it. And so there's just a lot of that and learning progress going on. So, but overall, they were all very supportive.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have, me included, there's five of us.
And how was that with them? Because oftentimes kids learn better and they do better with adjustments with their siblings.
Yeah, I have to say it was hard. It was hard because it goes back to because nobody understood what I was going through, you know?
Yeah.
And that was also kind of the beginning when they started to introduce me to, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like some sort of deaf camp. That like a community of some sort where they had like kids and children and families from all over the entire world just come and join the conference, and that you learn more about the deaf community, you interact and get connected with other kids that are like you. And I think that was the hard part because my siblings and them, they are perfectly hearing.
Right.
And so when they attend those kind of things with me, they feel like really awkward. And so it was just a navigation trying to learn all of that.
And now you must have some hearing, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so in a way you had a little bit of an advantage that you could, you know, sometimes probably fake it a little bit through.
And, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it might have, I'm sure, helped you along the way lip reading, you know, just being able to hear some of that and then learning how to lip read.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like in school growing up with your peers?
For the most part, so if I was to just say as like an overall, it wasn't bad. But if I were to really get down to like the detail of things and the reality of it, it was really frustrating because, you know, it just kind of really sets you apart from everybody else.
Yes.
And there's always those questions like, hey, what is that? Oh, you know, like, can I try? Or can I do this and all that stuff? And then sometimes that ends up with the equipment getting messed up you know, and like it hinders you from actually learning anything. And oftentimes, back when I was in middle school, elementary, and all that, I had the hearing aids that get connected to a microphone. Yeah, that was
that can be rough.
That was just experience in itself, I gotta say. Yeah, I struggle a lot with just because the technology back then is not like how it is now.
Right.
Now it's a little bit more advanced, but back then I struggle a lot with like static noises, you know, sometimes things not getting picked up correctly. So
right.
I oftentimes feel like I miss out on a lot of things or a lot of information.
Well, and you're right. The advancements are amazing now. And it is so much, I'm sure it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And you have more choices than you did then.
Yes.
So let's fast forward a little. Talk about when you first started baking. Like, how did you know, like, oh my gosh, this is my thing?
I can still remember that moment exactly. So that moment happened to me when I was in middle school. And in middle school, you know how we have to take those home economic classes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That was when I was like, oh my God, this is really, really fun. And so that kind of like kicked out my love for like baking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I got into high school when I did the culinary classes and we had that baking course. And it was during the term where we did cake decorating. And when I decorated my very first cake, like, it just clicked for me, and immediately I was like, yep, I know when I grow up, I'm going to have my own bakery. I'm going to do this for a living.
And what was your family's response to such a, you know, obviously you came into your own really quickly.
Yeah. Well, to be really honest, there wasn't support at first. Because my parents are very traditional. So like the traditional
Asian
parents.
What are you doing being a baker?
Exactly. Exactly. They were like, why aren't you going to law? Like you... Because before I got into baking, I was actually going to school for criminal justice and psychology.
My gosh. Yeah, that is so different.
Completely 180.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, so there was a lot of kickback from my parents, but eventually, you know, they warmed up to the idea when they started seeing what I was doing and how much passion I have for it. And they eventually came on board, and they're honestly like my biggest supporters right now.
Aw, that's so nice. Jai, you are a Le Cordon Bleu. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I'm hoping some of my French skills stuck. Graduate. So can you tell me a little bit, what was that like going through that experience with that program?
It was really fun. I did learn a lot of things that I didn't know, especially mm-hmm. with like the French pastries and stuff like that. But honestly, I made a lot of connections. I still retain my relationship with my professors that was over there as well, too. I would say if anybody who is interested in pastries or baking, it is a really great benefit for you to get a degree in pastry and bakery and go to a Le Cordon Bleu, either or the Culinary Art Institute.
So what made you choose Le Cordon Bleu?
Honestly, wanted to go to Le Cordon Bleu in France, but I didn't have the money.
There is that.
Yeah, so I started for the one here in the States since I came up here originally for my criminal justice and psychology degree, and Minnesota had Le Cordon Bleu here, so I'm like, great, let's just do it.
And then fast forward, and you decided to try to be on the Food Network on this show. Talk about how that happened.
Oh my goodness. So honestly, it's a little it's a little funny because I received an email from one of the producers and they were inviting me to try out for the show, but I thought it was spam. So I didn't answer. know, like the scam that was going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I didn't answer. And then I also, at that time, I just launched my business. So I had a lot going on. And I was like, we'll see. And then fast forward, I received another email from them. And that was when I was like, I think this is real. Yeah, so then after talking it over with a lot of my friends and family, I decided to make the decision to join them and just kind of like see what's out there, like just see what the experience was like.
And so they asked you. You didn't pursue them. They asked you, and then you said, okay.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So I wonder, do they target people from these different schools? How did they get you?
Honestly, if I remember correctly, they actually found me through my business. So they found my business name. Yeah, and then they invited me through there and was like, hey, we found your business. We'd love to have you on the show. And I was just like, are you real?
So when you did your first baking thing with them, the first week, you baked an interesting cake. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you decided to do that cake?
Yeah, so for the first episode of the Spring Baking Championship, we were tasked to bake a cake that is sentimental to us that also revolves around flowers. And I wanted to showcase the special moments that I have with my family where we will go to the flower fields. Or we're always like, you know, every time we have our annual family vacation, we'll spend time taking like family photos together and stuff like that. And so I wanted to just kind of do a oh goodness, I can't remember the word, but I just kind of play back to that memory of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's how I came up with the design for that. And then the flavors of the cake was just all part of, like, the competitions and what we had to do with the twist and everything like that. And, yeah.
Can you describe what the cake looked like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the cake that I did, the design, well, first off, the flavor of the cake was a lemon cake with a strawberry orange mousse and frosted with. It was really good.
Hold Charlene back. She's getting carried away here.
It was frosted with a Swiss meringue buttercream. And then for the design, I did kind of like, I frosted all over with like a really light, almost minty green. And then I did these like darker green stroke from the bottom up. So it kind of looked like some tall grasses. And I also wanted to add some more dimension to it. So then I took a spatula and kind of drag it through the buttercream.
Ah.
So it creates another level of like, kind of like a 2D dimensional to the side of the cake. And then I started piping on some pink and yellow flowers and roses all around it. And then up on the top of the cake, I did the same exact thing. And then in the center, I made a little camera out of fondant in black.
Oh,
and then
cool.
Just popped that on there.
Nice. So how, what did you think when you found out you were chosen to be on the show? What was your first initial feelings?
I was in shock and disbelief because I did not think at all that I was going to get in. Like 100%. I did not even like consider that I was going to get in at all. And so when they said, hey, you're in, I was like, oh my gosh, can somebody punch me?
It's interesting because when you would win on these shows, my friend who watched, she was like, you were so shocked. It's like you were totally not expecting it. I'm wondering how much was that, like, why shouldn't it be you? Why? I mean, it could have been anyone, but why shouldn't it be you? Did you feel like you had that much of a confidence barrier?
I think a lot of that has to do with, like, two things. One, when I walk into that show, in the very beginning, I had a lot of, like, what they call imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of felt like I wasn't good enough, right? And on top of that, you're competing with, like, 11 other super talented people. And so I just, I didn't get to look around the room to see what everybody was doing. So in my head, it was like, oh, they were doing so much better than I am. Like, they're so talented. I don't have this in the bag.
So what is it like baking while everyone's watching you?
It was so nerve-wracking, to be honest. Like, the very first day, I remember my nerve was just like, oh my gosh, it was going crazy. And every time I'm doing something, my hands just shake like crazy. I'd have to, like, mentally tell myself, like, calm down, it's okay, just pretend you're at home.
Right. Can you talk about some of the hurdles that you had to get through, both doing this show and also when you were attending school with the baking school?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, could you just repeat that
Can
question?
You talk about some of the hurdles that you had to overcome?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So some of the hurdles I had to overcome was a lot of it came down to people underestimating me and my ability.
Yes.
Yeah. So when they first see me, they don't just see me because, one, I'm a woman, but also, two, I have a disability. So it was a lot of like, hey, can she do this? Like, is she capable of doing all of this? And a lot of time, I struggle a lot with people gaslighting me and, you know, being in an industry where is so male dominated, it was very hard because you have to advocate for yourself all the time,
right?
And then not only that, but prove that you do belong in the kitchen too.
Yes Well, why not? They're always saying we belong in the kitchen, so get out, guys.
Yeah.
So do you have fears sharing so much of yourself with such a large audience?
Do I have any fears?
Yeah. I mean, you are really putting yourself out there. And I'm wondering, do you ever get worried about that?
I definitely do. Like, every single day, that thought crosses my mind all the time. I get so scared of, like, how people will perceive me, or maybe they will misunderstand something that I said or do. And just honestly, also, like, I sometimes get very self-conscious about how I talk.
Right.
Because I know I don't sound like everybody else, you know? With my speech impairment, my hearing impairment, it sometimes impediment me on how I talk. And so I get nervous about that a lot.
And well, you're doing just fine.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to take away from any of your worries, but you know, it's something we all go through who have a disability, right? Mm-hmm. We all that walk into a different situation, we always wonder, whatever our disability is, are we going to be able to hold up to whatever that yeah. we're all worried about? So it's interesting. I mean, it's nice to meet somebody in such a caliber that has the same fears as, you know, people who aren't a baker or are, you know, doing lesser things or just the same things, and they're trying to get where you are. They know, hey, you know, this is a normal, quote, normal feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had an interesting second dessert that you made, and I believe that was like a spicy dessert. Can you describe
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. So that dessert, honestly, I would say is probably my favorite throughout the whole entire show. What I made was a coconut crust.
Oh,
it was yeah, it was very buttery. It has tons of butter and coconut in there, so the flavor really shined through. And I did a spicy passion fruit jam in there with a passion fruit creme mousse, which is kind of cut through that spiciness a little bit. And then I brulee some mango with sugar on the top of it, and added a hint of fresh passion fruit with a little bit of salt and chili.
So clearly you won that one.
I did. I did.
How long did it take you to make that for them? Does everything have to be made in a certain amount of time?
It did. We had a time limit. So for the preheat, it usually ranged between like 1 to 1.5 hours. And then for the main heat, it ranges between 2.5 hours to 3 hours.
Wow. How many things did you make overall?
Oh, gosh. Let me think back. So in total, I probably did like around maybe 24 items, if I counted correctly.
And how did you decide what you were going to make? Did they say you had to bake this and then you could pick the type of thing? Or how was that decided?
Yeah, so for each challenge, it kind of like they had like a certain theme that they were doing for every episode.
Okay.
And then they came up with what the challenge was going to be, and they described that to us and pretty much say, hey, so you know, today we're lovers that goes on a date staring up at the stars or something. And then so our challenge was to make a mousse cake that represent the Starry Night Sky of some sort. And so we had to like incorporate that, and then they have different flavors where everybody will choose which one they will take. But the trick behind that is we don't know what those flavors are. We're choosing blindly. And then we find out once we get to our station.
How many people were you competing against each week?
I was competing against 11 other competitors.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit about French-Korean baking? Because I don't know if I know what that is exactly. Like, what are the flavors involved with that?
The flavors involved with, so I miss what you said in the
so,
beginning.
So, French-Korean baking. What are some of the flavors that you would find
French?
In that? In French-Korean baking, what are some of the flavors that we might discover in that baking type?
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. So let's say you're making French-Korean baking goods, right?
What kind of dessert?
French-Korean.
Is that right? French and Korean.
Yeah.
Yes. I am so sorry.
That's okay. So what kind of flavors or things would we find?
Yeah, so for French and Korean cuisine, my idea of that is to combine the French techniques and stuff and skills that they develop and infuse Korean flavor to it. So I usually deal with a lot of like lighter dessert with like foodiness to it as well. A lot of like exotic food. So I do like passion fruit, like very tropical fruits and stuff. Yeah, pandan. And then I deal with a lot of like matcha and red beans and stuff.
Oh, excellent. Yes. So you have a... Is it a restaurant or a baking company? Mm-hmm. Amour Patisserie, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
And tell me a little about that. When did you start that and tell me what you all make?
Yeah, so I launched my baking company, Amour Patisserie, in 2021. So just pretty much around the middle of the pandemic. I actually left my full-time salary job.
Wow.
Yeah, to just kind of take a leap of faith and dip and launch my business again. I'm very passionate about decorating cakes. So I specialize in doing wedding cakes and modern dessert table. So for a modern dessert table, you usually typically see like the petit gâteau with a like little mousse layer cake that was packed full of like flavors of different flavors together, and just kind of doing a modern twist on the aesthetic and the appearances of the dessert.
Oh my goodness. So how can somebody find out more about, do you have an online? You must have an online, like where people can see your desserts.
Yeah. So they can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Amour Patisserie MN. And then I do have my website where I do all of my orderings and everything on there. It is at www.amourpatisseriemn.com.
So for those who cannot spell, i.e. me, A-M-O-U-R-P-A-T-I-S-S-E-R-I-E. So amourpatisserie.com, yes?
Amourpatisserie, M-N.
Oh, M-N dot com. Thank you. So how long did it take, would you say? I mean, did you get a lot of response, especially during the pandemic?
I would say it wasn't as much as I was hoping. I'll be really honest. It was not as much as I was hoping, just because I was new. I was trying to get myself out there, getting people to like know that, hey, you know, I'm new, I'm here, like I'm ready to serve you guys.
Right.
Yeah. But eventually, over the course of like a few months or so, I started getting a lot more inquiries, a lot of it from like words of mouth, referrals and such.
And now you pretty much, you know, everyone knows that you are hard of hearing, that you have a hearing disability. How have people responded to that? Have you noticed anything, that they're more tolerant, that they are more understanding, that they are, you know, more critical? What have you noticed?
Honestly, people have been so accepting and loving. I was so surprised by the response, but it makes me so happy to know that they are like much more understanding of my situation and how I interact with them. And so it's been really nice.
So I'm going to touch on a slightly touchy subject, not about you, but you do consider yourself that you have a disability, but there are part of the deaf community that does not consider that this is a disability. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what your feelings are, you know, how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, so that was actually one of my biggest part about growing up, is because I always felt like I was constantly in the middle. Like, I don't have a, what do you call it, community, because I'm not fully hearing, so I don't belong in that. But I'm also not fully deaf, so I don't belong in that. So there was a lot of those, like, bite back from both worlds. Mm-hmm. And I struggled a lot with that because I felt like I didn't belong anywhere.
And how are you now?
I sometimes do still feel that way.
Still working. It's still working. Yeah. On it, right? A work in progress.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully. So in your company, how many people do you have working in your company? Is it just you or do you have more?
Right now it's just me, but I do get help from my friends and family as well too. And my sister, honestly, has been such a huge help with everything.
Aw. And how are you I mean, what do you want for the future of your bakery?
I want to be able to get a storefront so that I can have an actual shop where people can come and visit me, sit down, have a little street treat, interact with their friends and stuff. And also, I want to eventually have a full team of staff. That way, I can do more high-volume production. And honestly, I have a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I have a lot of goals. And yeah, for now, that's basically what I'm aiming for.
And what will you do? Because there's I don't know that there's really a lot of bakeries like yours, but there must be some. So what will you do to make yours special, do you think?
Yeah, so for my theme of my bakery, I play a huge part on mental health. I'm a huge advocate for it. And my company stands for welcoming anybody and everybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want everybody who walks in to feel welcome, to feel like they have a place that they belong. And that's basically the core values of my company. It's not just so much as, oh, I'm making dessert just to make dessert, but I want to create an environment, a place where anybody who comes through those doors, they leave happy, they leave full, and they leave even more wholesome than they first entered.
Excellent. I want to ask Charlene if she has any questions for you. Charlene is kind of my research girl, so sometimes she comes up with some good ones. Charlene, you have anything?
I'm hungry.
You can't eat in the studio.
I have something for you.
Oh my gosh. See, this is what we get for doing the show. We get treats. This is good. So if you could leave anyone with a message, what would you say?
I would say, honestly, do a skill. That has been one of my main points that I've been honestly using throughout this whole entire year, is just doing and taking every opportunity that comes my way, even if I'm not ready. Even if I don't feel like I have the skills, or that, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it, or if I was doubting myself and I'm scared of taking that leap, I would say just do it. Just do it, girl, even if you don't have everything figured out. Because most of the time, what happens is that those are the opportunities that will allow you to take that next step, that next chapter, that it will create that momentum where you will go on an upward trajectory. And so it will be everything that you probably wouldn't even imagine will happen. And so I would say just do it. Do it, get, do it, even if it's not perfect. Just do it.
Ah, those are some excellent words. I know a lot of people that should just take that leap, including me sometimes. I congratulate you for just taking that leap. Although you must have had some great amount of talent anyway, because you did good. So,
oh, thank you.
I'm excited to try the treats.
Yeah, I hope you like it and enjoy them.
And I just really commend you. Are you going to do anything like that again, do you think?
I absolutely will. I honestly had such a great experience on the show. I have to say, like, the whole entire staff and the competitors, never once did I felt like I was left out or behind. They were all so nice, and I would definitely do that again.
And were the shows all based here, or did you fly somewhere?
I actually flew out to, Tennessee.
Ah, Tennessee.
Yeah,
that's where they did it. Oh.
I didn't know that they did that there. So thank you for educating us.
Yeah.
Is there a cooking show or some type of show you'd love to be on that you haven't been on?
I've been considering the Holiday Baking Championship.
Oh.
Yeah, I love the holidays. So I have been putting my eye on that. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Well,
so have you done any of the midday, morning talk shows locally?
No, I have not.
Well, they should be calling you any
missed
day.
Out.
Yeah.
They missed out. That's right. We got you before they did. Ha ha. So, well, I hope you make that Holiday Baking Championship, because I think you could do well. And we're very proud that you are from here.
Oh,
so
thank you.
We're really glad to have somebody on who stretches their boundaries and reaches for high heights. I think that is something I think that enough people probably, I mean, we've all been there, right? We don't reach for something we probably should. So, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with?
No, I think that'll be it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jai. I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank you out there for listening. The show runs by you. And again, if you have a concept or an idea you'd like to hear on the show, please give us a shout at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com or tell us where you're listening from. We'd love to hear from you. And I hope you have a safe and healthy summer. So that's really important. Good night, Charlene. This is Disability in Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I've been the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Charlene Dahl is my research woman, and Aaron is my podcaster. Thanks for being so, Aaron. Tonight, we were speaking with Zhai Zhang. Zhai was on the Food Network on the Spring Baking Championship. It was a lot of fun interviewing her. If you want to hear more of that or other things, you may email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Thanks so much for listening. You're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Good night. KFAI.org.